This is VOA News. I'm Tommy McNeil. A top military commander has renewed Iran's promise to retaliate after an airstrike this week widely blamed on Israel. VOA's Alexis Strobe reports.
The attack destroyed Iran's consulate in Syria, killing 12 people, including two elite Iranian generals. General Mohammad Bagheri, Iran's joint chief of staff, told mourners gathered Saturday for the funeral of General Mohammad Reza Zadi that Iran will decide when and how an operation to take revenge will happen. Zadi was the highest-ranking commander slain in Monday's attack. The attack on an Iranian diplomatic compound was a significant escalation in a long-running shadow war between the two archenemies, and Israel has been bracing for an Iranian response. I'm Alexis Strope, VOA News.
Two Russian strikes on Kharkiv, Ukraine's second-largest city, killed 8 civilians and injured at least 10 early Saturday in the afternoon. Olivia Zelino with Reuters tells us more.
Ukraine's national police said the attack was launched by drones, while regional officials said Russian forces used missiles and bombs. Kharkiv's mayor said residential areas were hit, including high-rise buildings and a gas station. The first strike occurred just after midnight, according to news reports, while a second took place later in the afternoon. Ukraine's military said its air defenses destroyed 28 of 32 drones and 3 of 6 missiles launched by Russia. It follows deadly strikes on Friday in the southern city of Zaporizhia. Local officials said Russia fired 2 missiles, then 40 minutes later fired another 3 as first responders and journalists were on the scene. 2 journalists covering the aftermath of the strikes were among those wounded in the city, which is near the front line in the war with Russian forces.
That is Reuters' Olivia Zelino. The United Nations has begun distributing food in Sudan's war-ravaged Western Darfur region for the first time in months, following 2 successful cross-border delivery operations. This is VOA News. AP correspondent Chelsea Ledesma reports on detailed talks between the U.S. and China.
I think the Chinese realize how concerned we are about the implications of their industrial strategy for the United States.
The sides will create 2 economic groups dedicated to growth in domestic and global economies, as well as anti-money laundering. With the media, Yellen added, progress has been made to solve the concerns of the U.S. over the trade between China and Russia.
China has emphasized that it is their policy not to provide Russia with military support, that neither of us want this to be an issue in our bilateral relationship.
I'm Charles de Ledesma.
Ecuadorian authorities have taken the extraordinarily unusual step of breaking into a foreign embassy to arrest a former vice president facing corruption charges. It is a move that earned the administration of President Daniel Noboa swift condemnation from fellow leaders as well as diplomats. And Mexico itself is distancing itself. Police entered the Mexican embassy in Ecuador's capital on Friday night to arrest Jorge Glass, who had been residing at the diplomatic facility since December. Noboa's office has defended the decision, while other presidents have said it violated international norms. Glass is under investigation over his management of funds meant for reconstruction efforts following a 2016 earthquake that killed hundreds of people. A second UK lawmaker says he was targeted in a sexting scam. Police are now investigating. AP correspondent Rika Ann Garcia reports.
First, it was conservative legislator Luke Evans who received graphic photos of a naked lady. Now, another conservative MP, William Ragg, says that he'd been messaging with someone named Charlie, who sent an explicit photo of himself. Other news outlets reported that politicians, staffers, and journalists received WhatsApp messages from an unknown number posing as Charlie or Abby. Police are investigating these reports of malicious communications, but have yet to identify the sender. Rika Ann Garcia, London.
And India's southern Andhra Pradesh state has become a positive example of the benefits of natural farming, a process of using organic matter as fertilizers and pesticides that make crops more resilient to bad weather. And advocates say active government support is a primary driver for the state's success. Experts say the method should be expanded across India's vast agricultural lands as climate change and decreasing profits have led to multiple farmers' protests in recent weeks. I'm Tommy McNeil.